Hi, Peter. This is Carly Rubat calling with Third Coast Digest. Good, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Good. Thank you for giving me the time today.
Sure.
First off, what took you guys so long to come to Milwaukee?
You know what it is? It's like one of those movies in which the hero, the handsome hero is like looking for, one of these old movies, I should say, is like looking for love, and he just never notices the beautiful girl right next to him. Or maybe it's a beautiful girl who never notices the loyal but guy right next to him. And in the end, it was like, it's always you, like the end of Friends. Like, we've been traveling all over the country, and like we never realized the place we really belonged
Right.
was Milwaukee.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Isn't it though?
Yeah. I
Or
appreciate.
David Schwimmer, who did he fall for at the end of Friends? I forget.
Rachel.
Rachel.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch it. But
Yeah.
you're Rachel to our David Schwimmer.
Oh,
Unlike,
that's
it's always
wonderful.
you. It's always you all along.
Well, we're looking forward to it,
Me
definitely.
too.
Some listeners might be surprised by the amount of research and prep that goes into each taping. I was a little surprised watching some videos that you guys have done. Can you briefly describe
They're
the.
surprised, I'm sure, because it doesn't really seem like we put a lot of work into it.
It just seems that you're so witty naturally. It doesn't seem like you need a script. I think that
Well,
lends
I
to your
appreciate
ability.
that. No, it's always where you guys write a script. Yeah, we actually work pretty hard on it, myself and the other four people who work in the editorial staff, the producers. We spend all day researching and writing and reading articles and trying to find funny things and trying to actually learn something about the news so we can make intelligent jokes about it. It's harder than it looks. We spend a lot, like I said, we spend, we have a lot of really dumb stories on the internet looking for the stories that are just so dumb they can't be believed.
So, what are some of the sources for these stories, like dogs dialing 911 and the
Oh,
like?
well, we all have our different sort of secrets. I actually like reading and spend a lot of my time reading the major papers, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, because a lot of times, what I like to do is I like to find the details coming out of real stories. I mean, major stories that are kind of funny that are usually buried way down at the end of the story. So it'll be like a major story about something, and then you can way down to the end of it, like the 18th inch of the column on the second page, and there's some bizarre little detail that the writer wanted to get in, but it wasn't important. And that's where we make our living. I almost read the stories in reverse, looking for that sort of thing. But other people have other methods. They use, various internet aggregators. They go to foreign news sites that specialize in this kind of thing. British tabloids are great for this sort of work. They're constantly trying to titillate their readers with silly stories. So, we all have our secrets, which we don't share because we have sort of this informal competition of who can find the goofiest stories by the end of the day.
Do you ever get comments when you're doing live tapings from people you meet after the show talking about how you look different than the picture in their mind,
Well,
or
yeah, basically, my joke is that, I have to accept the fact that, well, upon meeting somebody for the first time who just knows my show, they're not going to hear anything I say for the first 30 seconds because it's like they're all staring at me going, "What do you look like?" And any words coming out of my mouth are like, utterly irrelevant. I could be saying, "We have to leave. The building is on fire." And they'll just be sitting there going, "Wow, he just doesn't sound bald. I don't know, man."
And how does that make you feel?
Oh, it's okay. I mean, remember before I started doing this, I was a public radio fan, and so I had the very same experience. When I first came to work for NPR, it was 15 years ago, I, went and over the course of, the first couple of years, gradually met everybody I had been listening to. And so I know exactly what's that like, And it's like, oh my God, this is Robert Siegel, oh my God, and then Noah Adams. I'm like, oh my God. Noah
Right.
Adams to me sounds like a big Burl Ives, the kind of guy who'd be like, 6 feet tall at least, maybe a little chubby and big beard and big belly, But now
Yeah.
he's tiny little man. He's like 5'3", if that.
You guys have some great panelists on the show. Are there
Yeah.
any in particular who take the scoring seriously or who study really hard before
Yeah, it's
they?
Roxanne Roberts, damn it. She always
Okay.
wants to win, and I'm happy to totally narc her out on that point. She plays to win, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, everybody does a little bit. I mean, it's human nature. If I'm going to ring up, we're like Pavlov's dogs looking for that bell. I'm going to give you a bell for getting it right. Everybody wants to get it right, so they get a bell.
Sure. And they kind of come in without too much preparation or unless they do
Well, we
something on
make a
their own.
point of not telling them what we're going to ask them about.
Right.
Because we have found that the more spontaneous they are, the better it sounds. So they don't know. I mean, if I ask them a question and they say, "I have no idea," they really don't have any idea.
And are they the writers of the Bluff the Listener?
Yeah, they write those stories themselves. We give them the real story, and, you know, we give them the cabin. We'll make up a story about weird, you know, some sort of strange thing that's like the real story, and then they go out and they make it up.
One of my favorite segments is the Not My Job. I mean, they're all great, but do you have any favorite guests from the past or any future guests you hope to see but haven't been able to get?
Well, I mean, we've been very lucky. We've had a bunch of wonderful guests. And, you know, it's hard to think of my favorite ones. We've had such good ones. There have been the people who I've admired my whole life who have been on the show and been really charming, and I had a chance to talk to them, people like Elvis Costello or Dick Van Dyke, or mm-hmm. President Bill Clinton, for that matter. Mm-hmm. My particular favorite is when people come on and you don't expect them to be funny, and they're really funny. A great, relatively recent example is Nico Case, or even Martha Stewart, who came on just this last week. It was really fun because she, like, swore and was funny and really, and I loved it. I mean, I loved how game she was. I mean, if people are willing to go along with what we do, it's really great, I think, because they show that there's a side of them that takes themselves less seriously, and that's great. And, I know people who say they first became aware of Barack Obama when he was on our show. Mm. They like the fact that he didn't take himself seriously.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing.
Carl is amazing.
He's great.
What does he sound like in real life?
The great thing about Carl is what you hear with Carl is what you get. He's genuinely that pleasant. That's what he sounds like. That's his real voice.
That's wonderful.
And that's his real personality. He's just this really fun, charming, older gentleman who loves his job and loves his life and has a great time.
He's
got a terrible temper, particularly when he gets drinking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'll trash a hotel room like you wouldn't believe.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
He
attracts groupies like a young Mick Jagger. It's really something to see.
I was hoping to meet him after the show. We'll see.
Oh, you believe me.
We'll see.
He will be waiting around, particularly if you're an attractive young woman. He will be happy to meet you.
Oh, that's great. Can you just tell Milwaukeeans what they can expect to see during a live taping versus the on-air radio show?
The live tapings have a lot of appeal. Obviously, you get to find out what we look like. Secondly, you get to hear a lot of stuff that doesn't get broadcast, either because it's too weird, too blue, too strange. I mean, we tend to record almost twice as much stuff as we broadcast. There's a lot of stuff that you don't get to hear, and some of it just goes off the rails in really funny ways. I mean, nobody has ever come up to me and said, that was dull. And mm-hmm. a lot of people have come up to me and said, you should figure out a way to broadcast the whole thing. And I'd say, well, if we did that, there'd be no incentive to come to our live shows, but would we?
If you don't mind indulging me, I have invented a new game called Bluff the Sagal, this historic Milwaukee edition.
Yes.
It's just three facts. One is not true, and I want to see if you can figure it out here. They're very short.
Okay, go for it. These are facts about what?
Milwaukee.
Facts about Milwaukee.
Yes.
All right, go.
So number one, the typewriter was invented in Milwaukee in 1867 by Christopher Sholes. Number two, Elvis Presley promoted his evening performance at the Riverside Theater from the back of a truck on Wisconsin Avenue in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And three, the Milwaukee Public Museum is home to the world's largest living butterfly.
And only one of those things is true?
Oh, one of them is false, so I changed it a little bit, but yes.
Say again?
One of them is false.
I see. I'm going to go for the one that is false. I'm going to say the last one, the butterfly.
That is correct.
Hey!
You are a genius.
I am.
It is the home to the world's largest dinosaur skull, apparently.
I figured it was something, world's largest something else.
Yes.
I figured I had that sense.
Indeed. Real quickly, how long has the show been on air now?
Believe it or not, we are approaching our 15th anniversary. The show went on the air in January of 1998.
Any big celebration plans for that?
You know, we were just starting to talk about that. We might do something in the spring. We might make it happen around a national live broadcast. We're going to do, you know, the live broadcast in theaters around the country in May.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes.
Well, that is all I have. I'm so looking forward to coming to the show. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right, have a good one. Bye.